Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects, and hopefully you're staying out of the heat and enjoying the sunshine, doing what you do on a day like today as we get through another day of the virus. Nick is here. Barry is not taking a day off as Quinton Demps was scheduled for today. We'll have to reschedule that. But Nick and I will take you through the show today as we get you all the way through till 4. Blitz takes you till 7 on ESPN 97.5 on this Cinco de Mayo. And early shout-out, Nicholas. And first of all, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm all right. First and foremost, shout out to Dr. Dre on 290. Not that he created this, but very, very funny. He tweeted out this morning for Cinco de Mayo. The guy, I think it was the guy that used to introduce the Twilight Zone. I think his name was like Rod Sterling. But it's a black and white photo of that guy as he used to open every show by Imagine in Another Dimension. Only this one says, imagine, if you will, a world where Cinco de Mayo falls on Taco Tuesday, only to be ruined by a virus named after a Mexican beer. Ugh. Corona. Very cleverly done. Shout out well Dr. Done. Dre on that. Yeah.
Shout out Dr. Dre. So what's new? What's going on in the Blank household? What's new over there?
Oh, man. Everything, brother. There's never a dull moment in the Blank household. But I will tell you this. You and Barry would be proud of me. I watched, I think I have 15 minutes left, but I watched the ZZ Top Netflix documentary last night while I was on the treadmill.
Super good, isn't it?
Really, really interesting. Yeah, really good. And always been a fan of the Top anyway. But man, when you see those guys without beards and you see those guys in the early days and like, what they did and how they created their own sound and some of the risks they took. But then the fact that they were just doofy looking guys that all of a sudden was like lightning in a bottle, boom, on a couple of occasions. I was dialed into it. Like I got off the treadmill. My calf was all screwed up. So I did like a fast walk for an hour. And so I couldn't leave. I sat in the garage watching it. Lisa's like, what are you doing? I got to watch the end of this documentary. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a really good documentary. Houstonians obviously would really appreciate it, and I'm glad it wasn't like multiple parts either. But you're right, they do look completely different. They look completely different. But that's, yeah, I caught that probably a few days after Barry mentioned it the first time, and it really gives you a different perspective and tells you things that you don't know, despite, you know, a lot of people think they know everything about ZZ Top. Like,
right.
You know, Barry talked about how many people think they're from Houston, and they're actually not. I was one of those people, so...
No, yeah. Two of them aren't, but one is, right?
Correct. Yeah, I think so.
Right. And the other thing, I mean, the whole traveling, like literally a traveling circus that they created on stage to represent, you know, the animals and stuff like that in Texas. And then, you know, to hit it right with and get the right guy to do the videos and the whole eliminator for all the videos and the hot chicks for and hit MTV right when they were going. Was just amazing. And then it made me think, too, of those hot chicks, I'll give you the did you know. There's a brunette hot chick that's in essentially all of the ZZ Top videos. She's from my hometown. She's from Milwaukee. She was a Playboy playmate.
Interesting.
Her name, Gina Tomasino. Gina Tomasino was skinny and smoking hot and perfect for the video. Then I find out Lisa's, you know, I told you Lisa's a fan of The Real Housewives. She used to, I mean, I don't know if she's still on the show or not, but she was watching, I think, Real Housewives of Orange County. And there's this chick that, let's just say, enjoys a meal or two as she's moved on in her life, that was married and divorced from a major league or a minor league baseball player. Her son is a minor league baseball player. And all of a sudden, one day, she just kindly drops in there that she used to be in the ZZ Top videos. And I was like, no.
Really?
And all of a sudden, I put two and two together, and we got four. She's four plus, not just two and two together. Because, yeah, she's moved on in her life in a lot of ways.
Well, she's getting, yeah, obviously. I mean, ZZ Top, is, you know, they've been around for years. And one of the few bands that, you know, they've been able to stay together and have that longevity. And so, yeah, I mean, what is it, like four decades strong for ZZ Top?
Yeah, and, you know, think about it. I saw him in New Orleans with James Brown. They did the halftime show for Packers Patriots when Favre was the quarterback. And they just keep getting gigs, and it's awesome because anything in Houston that's somewhat prominent or big, they're going to at least get a phone call, and people are going to look and see if they're available, which, good for them, man. I mean, you know, they deserve it after all they went through, but then, you know, how legendary they became, it's just a great story.
Yeah, because they also, you know, they were against – they kind of didn't go with the traditional approach of marketing at that time. They wanted to be themselves. And I think they kind of alluded to it in the documentary that, you know, had they taken a slightly different approach, I think ZZ Top would be more known from a national perspective. Not that they're not, but I think they would be more known. And so it's cool that they kind of stuck to the roots and believed what they believed in and still have the longevity. So, yeah, man, that's so much I have to catch up on. I basically put Ozark on pause.
Yeah.
I've basically disconnected myself from anything regarding the pandemic, which is probably kind of stupid. Like, I don't even do the every 10-minute thing that we were talking about. I just don't want to see it.
It's tough. Because you don't know what to believe.
Yeah. Because they're learning. I mean, they're
right.
This whole situation is evolving. You know that. You never know you never know what's going to happen next. And some people believe, you know, opening the doors and kind of ending the shutdown is a good thing. And a lot of people believe it. You know, it's bad, but, I mean, yeah, I've been so disconnected. I've been staying away from social media and just.
Well, and it's so tough because there's nothing else to watch on TV. So it's tough to figure out, like, you know, what to do with your nights where we used to be watching Astros games and had so much to keep up on so that we could talk about it with the peeps the next day. And so, yeah, people are just kind of left kind of wondering. And now because of the uncertainty about, even though they're lifting a lot of things, should you go out? You know, the malls are opening up today. First Colony and all the Willowbrooks and all the other Baybrooks and all the malls are opening up. But there's the uncertainty of how many people are they letting in? How are they counting? Should I go? Is it a risk? It's just, you know, the more you think that it's getting back to normal, the weirder and crazier it's getting because you can't find definitive answers, starting with the leader of our country and going all the way down.
I know. It's just so evolving. I feel like I don't want to discredit doctors or anybody on the front line because they're obviously doing a lot, but no one knows 100% how this thing transfers, grows. I mean, they're getting more and more ideas of how to fight it, how to treat it, but it's so inconsistent, and I'm not necessarily criticizing them because I can't be a doctor. Mm-hmm. But it's just it makes you wonder, you know. So it's like I tend to like want to just get an update in bigger chunks, you know what I mean? Where I just don't have to, which could be dangerous because
sure.
You know you need updates as they go along sometimes. But I'm just done with everything, all platforms. I mean,
yeah, it is. It's very obviously uncharted waters, but you just really don't know who to trust anymore. So it is hard, but I give people credit. They're doing whatever they can to survive and. You know, push their way through. But I'll tell you what's on right now that could get people to push their way through. They are replaying game 7 of the 95 playoffs between the Rockets and the Suns, which is the kiss of death Mario Ellie game. And I mean, they're in the fourth quarter right now. And just the moves that and the plays that Dream made were just ridiculous. But some of the defensive plays, Robert Horry, Mario Elie, what a just you want to talk about a, something to uplift your spirits? My goodness, the way that team came together and played. And, oh, by the way, if you look behind Rudy T, there's a guy in a gray jacket with a white T-shirt.
I was just going to say.
That looks remotely like someone you work with, Nick.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you watching the game or are you looking for yourself in the stands there?
Well, it's crazy because Rowdy Maya had tweeted that the game was being replayed. And I put it on, and it was already in the fourth quarter. And right away, Kenny Smith drives to the basket for a bucket, and they show the bench reaction. I'm like, nope, don't have to look too far. There I am.
Well,
so that was kind of neat.
Your boy, Craig Ackerman, when he gets as old as you one day, sir, he won't have the advantage of looking back at the old tape and being able to see himself. So you're
no, because he's in the rafters.
Exactly.
Well, when he does TV, he can, because then he can just watch the replay of the local broadcast, and he can see himself.
Ah, I didn't know that part. I just knew that they've changed where they've placed broadcasters since when you were doing it versus now.
Oh, yeah. No, the Rockets tried to make money. There's no doubt about it. So they could sell those courtside seats on the scorer's table for like $1,000 a game. And so they just said they're going to take the profit and move the broadcasters up in the rafters. And, you know, obviously it was difficult. You can tell on the games because Bill Worrell has – Gene Peterson first really struggled to try and see the players and the numbers because he had a lot of eye surgeries. But now Worrell struggles with the fact that you got to use the monitor a lot of times to figure out who did what when.
Right. Interesting, man. Interesting stuff.
Yeah. So lots of anything. I mean, anything on your end? Anything last night I missed or you were doing or anything you did differently since you weren't watching TV?
No, man. I just honestly just sat back and chilled. Didn't really do much. Too much. I was gonna watch some TV. Decided I'm just gonna sit back, make some food, avoid the grocery store, and just kick back. But I did see what you put down, which I think is super super cool. You don't have to talk about it now. We could talk about it on the other side if you want. But the United States Navy Blue Angels.
Yeah, coming to Houston. So that's something that people have to plan for. There's going to be a flyover tomorrow, and they're going to cover some ground, too. They're going to cover everything from the Woodlands to Sugar Land, all the way around. So I already retweeted the map, but we can talk about it. But they've been doing this trying to hit a lot of the major cities in the country, and I guess tomorrow is going to be Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, and New Orleans. But very, very cool, and it's not going to be like a long period of time. You got to kind of block out your lunch hour between 12:30 and 1. But, yeah, definitely kind of a neat thing that they're going to have the Blue Angel flyover. So, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen them in person before, but growing up as a kid in Milwaukee, I've told you before about Summerfest, which is like this 11-day music festival. And it's all on the lakefront. And as part of it, during the day, one day during the festival, they either had the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels. And, I mean, if you could get anywhere near the river, the lakefront, and walk them, that's a spectacular sight.
No, that's why I'm glad you put it down, because I haven't seen anything like that. I've read about it. I love their mission. I love what they stand for. I think the backseat flights are obviously kind of cool, you know, and they obviously try to do this through their flight demonstrations. And I think the whole idea, the whole premise is super cool. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's something to look for.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll give the peeps the information after the break so that everybody is up to speed on that. If you're up to speed on Game 7 right now, it's the Suns with a one-point lead, a little over a minute to play. Barkley has 23 as he's given the Suns the lead, but I think the Rockets are going to be okay. We're just getting started, so you guys always are suspects. Always welcome to join the show. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number. Always hit us on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5. What's love? This is how we do. We make a move and act
a fool while we up in the club. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects, Nick and myself, as Barry's got the day off. And just so you know, and so that we take care of all of the details, I don't know which ones you want first. Rockets, 1-point lead, 26 seconds left. Kenny Smith boxed out and couldn't get a rebound. Suns ball, Kevin Johnson fouled. If you're following Game 7 replay of the 95 Suns-Rockets series, or the fact that we promised you that we would give you the information on the blue.
Well, there goes Joel. Love technology. Flying. Oh, there he's back.
They're going to...
We lost you for a second. Go ahead.
What, did you lose me?
No, you're back.
Okay. So what part did you lose?
Just that the past 3 seconds.
Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, we heard most of it. We heard most of it.
Okay.
I would just say,
first of all, I would put on channel 216 if you have satellite, because you need to watch the end of this Rockets Suns game. But if you're looking about the Thunderbirds flyover, I'm sorry, the Blue Angels flyover tomorrow, they're going to start in the Woodlands. So it's going to go between 12:30 and 1:00, and it's going to be kind of a twisted path, but a very cool path at that. They're going to start in the Woodlands. I don't know how they do this. Like, that, are they going to take off from somewhere else and get to the Woodlands? Or, because I don't think there's an. Oh, I guess they could take off from Bush, right?
I'm assuming they can, but I don't know if they're going to go with their normal protocol anyway, with it being for the frontline workers. I'm sure they're changing it up slightly.
So I would assume that they're going to take off from a private strip somewhere at IAH or Bush, and they're going to start at the backside of the Woodlands. They're going to go over the Woodlands and Spring. Then they're going to hook back so that they can get to Humble and Atascocita along 59. Then they're going to go from there over the downtown area, make a loop inside the loop between 610 and, say, the Compaq Center. Then they're going to fly out our way, Nick, and they're going to go Missouri City, Sugar Land, Greatwood, hook around to Richmond and Cinco Ranch, get over by I-10, come back towards Missouri City into Bel Air, then hook back around, get to Jersey Village, fly over downtown one more time, and the whole thing's over by 1 o'clock. So in a half hour, they are going to cover the entire city, in some cases, multiple times.
That's crazy. I hope they have like a live stream.
Dude, that's
of
a
that
lot.
Too.
Oh, that would be very cool. You're
I don't
absolutely
know if
right.
Can catch
they should
anything,
have a.
But,
they
yeah.
should have a website or a Twitter account, and they should definitely. Great call. How they should have a GoPro or something, and they should also be live streaming. That would be fantastic.
Everything about this thing is cool. So they have like 16 officers. Every year, the team typically selects 3 tactical fighter or fighter attack jet pilots, 2 support officers, and 1 Marine Corps C-130 pilot to relieve departing members. So it's just the whole idea behind it is so cool. I'm definitely going to look over. And the fact that they're going to be able to go over the city possibly 2 times over the course of just
multiple
30
times.
Minutes.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Super now, cool. Let me tell you this. So if you can picture this, but in Milwaukee, obviously there's a huge lakefront for Lake Michigan that leads down to the Summerfest grounds I told you about with the stage and all that other stuff. But right before you get to the actual grounds, it's called the War Memorial, and it's a huge memorial, obviously, for war veterans and everything else. And it's elevated. So it's raised up, I would say, about 2 stories from ground level. And then there's the parking's kind of on the roof. There's a walkway to the roof. And we had people that got us on the roof. When those things, when you're that close and they fly over you, that sonic boom and that feeling is just, it makes every hair on your arm stand up. It is just, when you start kind of conceptualizing how fast they're going, and how precise they are when going that fast. Like you said, it's one thing to talk about how many people and what they're doing, but to know that up in that high up, how close together those aircraft are, it's pretty awesome stuff.
And I'm an idiot because I don't know this. I think I've seen this on TV before. Maybe anybody who are pilots or jet pilots could tell me. But I think what's even cooler about this is that, when they land, I think you have to actually accelerate just to land. If anybody can confirm that, let me know. Because I remember seeing a documentary of some sort. Everything about these planes are just so sophisticated and so cool. So I'm definitely enamored by this. So and the fact that they're going over Missouri City, over our neck of the woods, that's even cooler. I like that.
Yeah, and the other thing is, and by the way, Dan Marley just traveled his ass off after the kiss of death, and they didn't call it. So that's something that people,
like
when they
Dan
start
Marley.
Doing fact
I
checks
like
on the history of games. I like them too, but he still traveled. The Rockets should have had this series wrapped up without him going to the free throw line. No, but when you think about all that too, there's been some pretty horrific crashes when things go wrong because of how precise the whole flight patterns are for these planes. I mean,
And it looks like we lost Joel. We'll try to get him back here on ESPN 97.5. But, yeah, man, everything. I think you guys should definitely check out this website. It's blueangels.navy.mil. And you can basically see all the information. They have a schedule up there as well. And it's super cool. Joel, do we have you back? I think you're talking about the sophistication of the plane.
Hello? Am I there?
You are here.
You got me?
I got you.
Okay, good. I don't know what keeps going on because it shows that I'm connected.
You're on the air right now, so we're good. We'll reset on the break.
Yeah. I was just saying, between these air shows and everything else, the one thing that you I don't know that you want to, but because of how close together and concise these formations are that these Blue Angels and Thunderbirds do, I mean, there is no room for error when you start talking about – and when they go in for landings or they go really close to the ground, they've had some pretty horrific crashes over the years when just a slight thing goes wrong.
I would imagine. No time to respond or react to whatever could be potentially going wrong in a situation like that, I imagine. I mean, obviously, I'm not an expert or a pilot, but at the speeds that they're traveling, it's probably – I can only imagine. But, yeah, look out for that for those of you who – are into that kind of thing, and you can get more information on that website, blueangels.navy.mil. It's a pretty good website.
Yeah, it's just it's good to follow them, and I've always been fascinated by them. Always been a big fan. So it's going to be between 12:30 and 1 o'clock tomorrow. And again, I had Pac-Man Joel. I tweeted out the flight pattern that they're going to use. Rockets up 115, 112, 3.5 seconds left, in case you're interested. So
I love how you're giving updates on a game years ago.
I mean, I sit there and I watch it, and I was like, I just start jonesing to do some play-by-play on it and just, start commenting on it. So at least I can give you score updates on a game, whether it's live or not. It doesn't matter. Like Rowdy Maya said, kiss of death, Mario Ellie. Looking forward to it all afternoon. Absolutely. It's one of the more iconic moments in Houston sports history. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Half hour in. Lots more to get to. You guys are suspects, so come on in. Join the show. We'd love to have you. 713-780-3776. HRP listener line. Usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the suspects, half hour into the three-hour extravaganza. Oh, my God, Nicholas, I'm going to send this to you, and you will pass judgment on it as you will. As I'm watching, this game won't end between the Rockets and the Suns.
Update.
Crazy. Yes. Update right now. Rockets up one, inbounding the ball, 2.1 seconds. Ainge has just made two free throws. So I'm going to text you a picture, Nicholas, that you're going to love as that game gets ready to end. We were talking about the whole flyover and all of that. But a lot of people have mentioned, look, between the air show and there's one coming up. Someone said there's one coming up at Ellington Field Friday. So World War II planes. A lot of those air shows always have as part of it one of the two, Thunderbirds or Blue Angels. I don't know if they will or not, but worth checking out and seeing because that's very cool. And someone also said, Nick, that you're absolutely right, that they have to accelerate when they are trying to land on like battleships because they need to speed up in case if they miss the cable that stops them, that
that's
they still
what
have
it
enough.
Yes. I knew it was something. Yes. I just couldn't remember.
No, you were right.
That's cool, though, man. That's crazy that you have to actually accelerate to stop. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, no doubt. So very cool stuff there as we were talking about that. Lots of other things to talk about. And one thing that I wanted to get into as we get start working into sports, and, you know, that's something that we kind of do that. The rumor out there started last night. People started asking me about it. How do you feel, Nicholas, overall, if I told you the rumor out there is that the Knicks have a desire to talk to Tom Thibodeau for their head coaching job? And before you respond, that's not what I'm getting to. They say, but however, before they get to that, the Nets and the Rockets are thought to be pursuing him to coach their team next year, especially with Mike D'Antoni in the last year of his contract. Your thoughts?
Oh, God, there's so many thoughts running through my mind because he's absolutely a respected coach in the league. We all know this. Tom Thibodeau is I feel, a pretty respected coach in the league. One thing that we've talked about on this show a lot and you've alluded to a lot is accountability, and accountability specifically in regards to James Harden. And one thing that I've mentioned time and time again, and I'll let you have your take, is James Harden has now had, what, two respectable coaches in Kevin McHale and Mike D'Antoni. He is on his third star because the first two was Dwight Howard and then Chris Paul, and now he's got Russell Westbrook. But he's a completely different player now, James Harden, not just from a skills standpoint, but from a personality standpoint. Is he mature enough of a personality to deal with a coach like Tom Thibodeau? Because he's absolutely the opposite in terms of the way he communicates than Mike D'Antoni. And so my optimistic belief, the Rockets fan in me would like to think that James Harden would be mature enough to communicate well with a coach like that. Now, in regards to Mike D'Antoni, that really sucks because I feel like the pandemic is probably the reason why he lost his prove it year, you know, prove it to me year, because that's kind of what Tillman Fertitta was saying when he didn't give him that contract, right?
Yeah, it's a prove it year for sure. And again, it's a difficult set of circumstances because now you're not proving it under a regular NBA season. Now you're being forced to prove it where you're probably going to be forced to be the sixth seed no matter what, because if they do play again, there's no way that they're going to play the rest of the regular season, I don't think, and it's not going to be the focus. So you're probably not going to have home court in the first round, but yet you've got an owner that is obviously hyper-focused on winning. And as you mentioned, the James Harden element is interesting because he's matured a lot since he was basically forcing the hand of Les Alexander and saying, you got to fire Kevin McHale. Then, in retrospect, Les Alexander came out and said, I shouldn't have fired Kevin McHale. But James Harden stood fast in the belief that they made the right move in firing Kevin McHale. It's just that they didn't go anywhere. J.B. Bickerstaff wasn't the answer. And the team was left to try and pick up the pieces after another disappointment come playoff time. So you look at everything that's said there, and I believe you're right. James is a more mature player. But he got the guy that he wanted this time. He got the guy that was an offensive guru, that Taylor made the whole offense for him, that did everything that you, that if you're James Harden, you'd want a coach to do. And yet you failed and you haven't got to where you've wanted to go. So now where do you go from here? Because I really believe, the minute that I saw all of this, I completely believe in my heart of hearts, this will destruct the entire front office on the basketball side of the Houston Rockets. Tom Thibodeau is a control freak. He's a Van Gundy disciple. He's a power guy. He just got out of a job where in Minneapolis he was the coach, the president of basketball. He got to decide who the general manager was. He had issues with the owner because of what he wanted to do versus what the owner wanted to do in trades.
So he's Bill O'Brien-ish is what you're saying.
Exactly. Great analogy. So with all that being said, if you're Daryl Morey, you better be careful what your owner asks for or if this is your choice, because you're going to have to put your head on a swivel. Tom Thibodeau is going to be demanding to make moves he wants to make. He's going to fight back on you, the general manager. He's going to want to know from an ownership perspective, Tillman, whose side are you on? Who's here long term? Who you got? And then from a basketball perspective, you've got an alpha personality in Westbrook that most coaches try and tiptoe lightly around. And you've got a guy that really needs coaching in James Harden in terms of keeping him focused and disciplined and playing defense and those other things. I just think this is a recipe for disaster if they do something like this with Tom Thibodeau. I just don't see him being the right fit.
Yeah, that was probably what I was going to say next. I would imagine, but you know what? Kevin Durant hasn't really been a guy that can deal with a coach. I don't know if he's necessarily a guy that, you know, with the Nets, if that's a guy that he can, you know, necessarily deal with either. So it's going to be interesting. But I think the difference here,
more so than that, Nick, it's not Kevin Durant. That's a Kyrie Irving situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right, but the difference is, too, with the Houston Rockets, Joel, is that he's going to be interviewed probably by a completely different owner in Tillman Fertitta. And as you know, he's different than the former Rockets owner, Lex Alexander, if I can speak, and that he likes the spotlight a little bit more, okay? And I'm not necessarily of the belief that, you know, Tibbs can just come in here and say, look, I got to be the GM, I got to be the head coach, I got to be responsible for the roster. I don't think he can just go in on a dynamic with Tillman Fertitta and Daryl Morey and kind of make those requests. I don't think Tillman Fertitta will give that up.
It's going to be a really interesting situation, to say the least, because, you know, first of all, I think if you're Tillman, you got to take your time. You got to absolutely do it right. You've got to find the right person. You got to interview multiple candidates. And the fine line, Nick, becomes, as I've told you, in a lot of organizations, especially when you have big-time franchise players, you involve the players in the process. Les did that with James in making the decisions that were made previously. I'm interested because of what you said about Tillman Fertitta, if he's a guy that's going to consult with his players or if he's going to believe that it's my team, it's my franchise, I'm going to run it my way, I don't care if they like it or not, guys, meet your new head coach. That's going to be an interesting dynamic too, because it's become more and more of a players' league in situations like that. And if Tillman does decide to do it and go his own way, I'm going to be real curious to see how James and Russ react to that.
How about Tibbs and Daryl Morey? And how's that relationship going to be? Because if you give him that much power, I don't know if his contract, Daryl Morey's contract, was ever public, but to my understanding and from the rumblings I've heard is that he's getting paid very well. You don't bring in a guy like Tibbs to kind of do Daryl Morey's job, right?
Well, you do and you do and you don't. So you don't in terms of job description. But you realize, based on who Tibbs is, how controlling he likes to be, and his previous jobs, he's going to not only want a say in it, he's probably going to be pretty demanding when it comes to building a roster his way, player moves, etc., which you know Daryl has been 100% consumed in. That's me and that's my job. So I think they're going to butt heads, and that's what I said. I think if you're Daryl, you got to be careful, because if you're making this move, Daryl, it's a mistake. If Tillman makes this move and tells you to deal with the new coach that he picks, now you really got to be careful, because Tibbs isn't going to care who you are. He knows the owner brought him in to do a job his way, and the only thing is it's about winning, and you're going to see who wins out, because we know that the whole tweeting thing with Daryl got under Tillman's skin a little bit. So at the end of the day, Tillman might have to make a decision, because it's going to come down to one or the other.
Yeah, it's just tough. I just don't see, and I think when you're a coach and you're trying to negotiate power, for lack of a better term, and you say, look, I want to stay in the roster spots, you know, I think that's one thing, and I think it's a whole different ball game when you have that interview and you guys verbally or in a written contract agree that, no, Coach Tibbs is the guy responsible for roster spots. And I don't think that's the dynamic that can exist. I don't know if that's what Tibbs is necessarily requesting or demanding. I just don't know how you do that with someone like Daryl Morey, a guy who's absolutely got the reputation. Who's barking out there?
Oh, Lisa's pulling in the driveway, so the whole sled, the whole pack is going crazy.
Oh, okay.
You're not supposed to hear that. Evidently, normally, the microphone's now working really well.
Yeah, it's very sensitive right now. But that's But yeah, I mean, I just don't see how Daryl Morey could. I don't see how Daryl Morey likes that. It's obviously Tillman Fertitta's decision to make. I just don't see him giving in that easily.
See, here's the other thing, Nick. This hurts this year's team. Because if you're Mike D'Antoni, you can't help but hear that. Someone's going to ask him about it, probably more than one person, and that's gonna bother him. There are going to be certain members of the team that it's probably going to affect, and they're going to know about it, and it's going to be an underlying issue if they do get back to playing. And so I think that can hurt the focus and the direction of the franchise this year. Because, you know, if you're a head coach and you know that the owner's already trying to pick out your replacement, that's a tough situation to be in, man. And I don't think that you can then focus completely on winning in the playoffs, which you're supposed to do.
A question on Twitter by Chris Davis. If Tillman does it his way, do you just restart the philosophy? I don't think Tibbs would run small like MDA did. Also, I am fine with MDA and Tibbs pairing, not Tibbs running the entire show. I don't see that the pairing happening. That would be unique.
Yeah, I just think that's a tough ask. And I don't think Daryl's going to be willing to relinquish any of the power and decision-making. I don't think Tibbs is going to be accepting of the fact that, again, with the Parcells philosophy of you want me to serve dinner, but you and you're not going to let me pick out the groceries. I think he's going to have an approach where he needs to be involved, which is fine, but who has the final say? Because we all know when push comes to shove, there's going to be decisions where there's going to be a disagreement, and someone's got to settle it. Is Tillman going to be that guy? And does he know basketball enough to say that I'm going to make that decision? Then if he doesn't, which one of those two guys is he going to trust more to say, I'm going to go with Daryl or I'm going to go with Tibbs?
To your knowledge, how much has Tibbs embraced analytics?
You know, I don't think it's something that they focused on early on when he was working with us, with Jeff Van Gundy and that staff. I think he understood it more as he got to Boston under Doc Rivers, that there is room for analytics in the game, but you can't discount the eye test and the feel of, you know, just knowing basketball. I think that there's enough information out there that says you have to have analytics as part of your approach in basketball. So I don't think that's going to be the issue. I think it's going to be a power struggle, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know about all the demands that Tibbs has made in the past and other organizations in terms of what he wants as a coach in terms of power. But I mean, that'll be interesting to see. They've obviously, if the report is true and it's just simply saying that they're pursuing him, you know, they may have had this discussion already and kind of come to the conclusion that, you know what, maybe Coach Tibbs isn't, but we don't know. We don't know what the dynamic is. I don't know if Tillman Fertitta has a relationship with Tibbs that perhaps he's had in the past, but you know, it's just hard for me to just give Tibbs that power when you know you have Tillman Fertitta remember, Tillman Fertitta was a guy that while he was getting his feet wet as the new owner of the Houston Rockets, it happened relatively quickly that he didn't give that new contract to Mike D'Antoni. I mean, he made a statement relatively early as an owner. So I just don't know how that's going to work. I tend to agree with you in that I'm not sure Coach Tibbs would be a good fit for this roster.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to be in a big hurry. See how everything plays out this year, and then take your time, talk to D'Antoni about coming back if you like some of the things that happened. If not, interview multiple candidates until you're dead sure that you've got the right guy, because otherwise it could be, like I said, a franchise-altering decision the wrong way if they just jump the gun and go too quickly. All right, we'll continue to – if you guys want to chime in, we'd love to have you, just like Chris Davis. Get in here and talk about it. We would love to have you. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call or text that number. And, of course, you can always hit us up on Twitter throughout the show. You can call. You can do whatever you like. You're all usual suspects as we continue with hour number one right here on ESPN 97.5. I feel the rain and it's telling me to go far. I feel the pain
and it's telling me the music call. Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, rolling through the first hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry off today, Nick in, as we appreciate everybody listening, wherever you may be in Houston, as we roll through a Tuesday. Tomorrow's a way back Wednesday. Nicholas, we need to work on that. Need to pick some kind of a theme, as you've been good about coming up with
those.
Well,
we haven't done songs Tillman Fertitta. That was like the last one on that list, wasn't it?
Well, it might be appropriate since now he may be looking for a coach. Maybe we can find some different avenues to uncover with song titles that would be apropos. So that's something we can consider.
Yeah, we've got a caller on hold if you want to get to him.
All right, go ahead. Who is it?
Greg wants to talk about The Last Dance. You're on The Usual Suspects. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I've been watching The Last Dance. I listen to the show every day. I enjoy it very, very much.
Thank you.
I think the thing I took away from the last couple episodes, and even the first two, is just how one of the things I've noticed is how different, if a Bulls team were around now in the media landscape of 2020 with social media and the kinds of things we want athletes to portray or we want them to be a part of. And I don't know if anybody could live up to the kind of scrutiny that those Bulls teams did. I mean, something that's comparable now would be probably the Cavaliers and those Warrior teams that we've seen over the last few years in the age of social media and blogs and the kind of media landscape that we've seen that didn't even exist back then, that would probably be 10 to 20 fold compared to what, you know, the 98 team did with the Bulls.
And you know what? It's a great point. It's not just the 98 team, but you just think about everything that Michael Jordan has been through to this point in the documentary. And that's a tip of the cap to LeBron James. Now, not that he had a gambling issue that was publicized or his father was murdered or any of those things. But the fact that it is a valid point when looking at everything that the Bulls went through, Michael talks about the scrutiny. He talks about the pressure. He talks about not being able to take it anymore. Boy, it's times 100 if you add Twitter and Instagram and how many people now with. Think about this. We talked about it a little bit, the lack of social media. Let's talk about technology, Nicholas. Let's talk about the fact that back then you didn't have a million different people that were reporters because they all had a cell phone with camera capabilities and video capabilities. They could film you anywhere and everywhere if you tried to escape the limelight, like that gambling trip, like some of the things MJ was doing, like even golfing. So if MJ thought it was bad back then, it would be 100 times worse today because of social media and all those different things.
Oh, without a doubt. And I know when you consider some of the personalities back then and then how some of the truth kind of comes out 10, 15, 20 years later, you know, you look back at them and you just kind of perceive those guys as guys who probably wouldn't have done well in the social media era, right? That they wouldn't have embraced it well or they wouldn't have reacted well. But the reality is a lot of these guys in the NBA now who are, you know, who do know how to handle the criticism and have embraced social media, it's because they kind of grew up with social media. And so I think if Michael Jordan was introduced to social media or if social media was as prevalent as it is today back when he was a youngster, maybe Michael Jordan wouldn't be that, you know, wouldn't be that bad. But we don't know. We don't know. You know,
You know, the other thing, though, Nicky, think about it. Think about if a Charles Oakley with his quick trigger was on Twitter, you know, and had to deal with some of that scrutiny. I mean, I think I react a little bit too much sometimes. Can you imagine like Oakley or Mason or some even Starks, some of these guys that, you know, you loved them if they were on your team in New York, but there was a ton of people across the country that couldn't stand them and that wouldn't hold back these days and taking shots at them. So those were the kind of people that you'd have to have someone on staff to just say, stay off of social media. Just don't even do it. Or even a Rodman. How about the fact if you put Rodman on social media back in the day and he was as much of a loose cannon as he was in what we've seen in the documentary, how about now give him a cell phone with the ability to tweet and Instagram pictures, say whatever he wants, you know, just put everything out there. He'd probably be suspended. He'd probably be, you know, violating all kinds of different, you know, laws and social feelings and everything like that just because of the fact that it's a totally different era now.
Yeah, Dennis Rodman made a name for himself without social media, and he understood the platforms that he was on. He knew what it took to kind of grow himself as a brand back when really, I mean, I'm not going to say branding didn't exist, but it didn't exist in the form of like social media or like in players in the league like they do now. It's way more prevalent now than it is before. So I mean, I would assume Dennis Rodman would probably be one of the guys that embraces, because I think he's in the 50s already, right? I think Dennis Rodman.
Oh God, yes, he's already cleared at least the 5-0. Yeah.
So I mean, he's a guy that, you know, I think he would have embraced social media. He would have used it to look. He understood what he needed to take advantage of, because he knew he wasn't the player that was going to score you a bunch of three-pointers and make a bunch of mid-range shots. He was going to be the guy that does the dirty work and gets the rebounds and try to get in your head and annoys you and plays good defense. And so he has to think of create. It's like Pat Bev. Pat Bev had to think of the most creative ways to become a basketball player, because he's not the most athletic player that's going to shoot the best. He's not going to be able to penetrate and get you 35 points a game, but he's going to be a guy that's going to work his ass off and think of creative ways to make plays, because he knows where he's good at. And that's what Dennis Rodman did. So
Yeah. But a good point. We appreciate the call, because, look, I mean, that's the other thing that you think about when watching the doc, is that it's so much different, not just the way the game is called, not just the fouls and all that other stuff, but just, you know, society in general. When we start talking about social media, cell phones, video coverage, you know, even to have the amount of sports networks now that are out there, it would change everything. So interesting to see as we progress through this thing too, because, you know, you only have so much time to have so much footage too. But I mean, look, in a lot of ways, that Bulls team should get more credit for the way that they were scrutinized from the fact, but also they should also be criticized in the fact that if they thought it was bad back then, try and go through it now. I mean, it would be...
There's so many players we could talk about. I mean, Hakeem, how would he react? Jordan, how would he react? Karl Malone, how would he react? Isaiah Thomas, how would he react?
Good news is, on Hakeem's front, he's probably not going to be on social media. He just isn't going to do it. And I think that that's great. But I think you're right. I think there's a lot of other guys out there where you start looking at it going, yeah, there's some guys with a quick trigger, with a temper, with a tough guy image that aren't going to take too kindly to, you know, just common folks taking shots at them on social media and otherwise. So, yeah, it would be definitely a very interesting time.
I mean, if it's getting under people of this era, I mean, you saw what Kevin Durant did creating a Twitter account and how childish that was. I mean, obviously Twitter was getting to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done that. So, I mean, it's something that's always going to be around. So it's just cool to come out with these stories years later. Not knowing how they really react, you know, how really they were reacting inside that huddle, inside the locker rooms, behind closed circles, you know?
Yeah. No, you know, it's definitely something that people, I don't think, pay enough attention to in terms of just watching it and compartmentalizing it as to how it would fit in today's game. So we'll continue to roll. We've got, again, if you want to get in on this whole Tom Thibodeau to the Rockets thing, chime in. If you want to talk about what we were just talking about in terms of the callers aspect of The Last Dance, chime in. We've got plenty more to get to, including the Texans with a big new hire. We need to talk about that as we get to other things and maybe a little football. As we roll through hour number two, that's one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show comes up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.